dog mamas and dog lovers. I'm Dana Brigman of the Canine Coach Carolinas and Well-Oiled Canine. This podcast is dedicated to all things natural wellness and behavior for dogs. In these upcoming podcasts, we will spend time talking about nutrition, essential oils, homeopathy, and behavior that you can consider as part of your own wellness journey with your dog.
I'll take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is for educational purposes only. When we are speaking about natural wellness, we are not intending to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness that your pet may have. You will be encouraged to reach out to a professional or your own veterinarian for additional support. When we're talking about behavior, you are encouraged to seek the guidance of a professional trainer or behaviorist to help you reach your goals.
So now I invite you to come, sit, and stay well as you enjoy the show.
So hi everybody, this is Dana Brigman and I have with me Sarah Baker from Baker's Acres Academy in Utah. What part of Utah are you in, Sarah?
So we live in Springville. It's just about an hour south of Salt Lake. So okay. I know not many people really know Utah very well, but an hour south of Salt Lake and about 3 hours north of St. George.
Gotcha. So today we're going to be talking about dog training for the whole family. Sarah says that the family that trains together stays together. And I really like this topic because it really is about how we set the family up to interact and to lead that dog effectively. So a little more about Sarah is she, and this is in her words, not mine, when not answering the cries of mommy and babe or running a business, cooking dinner, answering client questions and cleaning up messes, Sarah devotes her time to training dogs, instructing owners and educating the public. She specializes in training everyone in the family, not just the dog. So Sarah, what does that mean to you to train the entire family?
Well, I'm sure that we've run into this multiple times as professional trainers where it, regardless of which mode of training you do, whether it's a board and train or private lessons or group classes, you usually have one or maybe two people involved in the process of training their dog. And the rest of the household doesn't really have that much to say about it. And for the first few weeks, maybe the first few months of the dog being home after the training program is done, everything is fine and dandy, but then the honeymoon period ends and everything usually goes back to normal, meaning the normal state of things before they even called you to get help with training, right? Why is that? Well, that's, in my opinion, what I've seen in my own business is that when you aren't focusing on every aspect, meaning every relationship in the home, that means husband and wife. Leave that out.
Welcome to the real world of training.
Right? Jeez. That's what happens when you come outside, right? Okay. But it means every relationship, right? It's husband and wife, wife to husband. It's husband to kids, kids to father, you know, father to kids, kids to father, mother to kids, kids to mother. And then now it's the dog.
Right.
To the husband, dog to the wife, dog to the kids, husband to the dog, wife to the dog, kids to the dog. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, just like the little tagline says that families that train together, stay together. If there's one person in that household that is not on board, it's not going to work. Seriously, it's not going to work. It's not going to, the family as a unit is not going to stay together. And usually that means the dog gets ousted, meaning they get taken to the shelter, surrendered to a rescue, or sold on the classifieds, you know, or they get thrown in the backyard and just neglected
and ignored. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the problems that you see? What are some of the common issues that we see and where those relationships or the inconsistency, you know, in leading that dog starts to
create a problem.
I'm sure we've all heard the list before, right?
I'm sure I have. Many of our jumping listeners on, might not.
Right? Right? So jumping on the guests that come in the door. Running out the open door and running down the street, getting hit by a car, or chasing the mailman, or chasing the neighbor's cat, nipping the kids at their heels, grabbing stuff off of the kitchen counter or the kitchen table, stealing socks out of the laundry basket. Mm-hmm. How about that? Yeah, that's a common one. Barking incessantly. You know, just nuisance barking and whining and pining away because they're bored. They're bored out of their minds. Okay, here's another one. Probably the most common one I get is the dog pulls excessively on the leash to the point where they're choking themselves, but also the owner has tripped and fallen multiple times.
Oh yeah.
Or had to have surgery of some sort, whether it's shoulder surgery, elbow surgery, knee surgery, hip surgery, something like that. All of these things can be easily remedied by setting up some structure in the home, teaching the dog what is acceptable, what isn't acceptable, but also making sure that everyone in the household is on board.
Right.
What does on board mean? It means everyone in the household understands what it means to have a dog live in their home and their role in that relationship. So that includes everybody from the husband to the wife to the kids, all the way, you know, kids, teenagers that are or young adults that are still living at home, all the way down to the infant.
Right. So maybe if we can just drill into some of those pieces and the relationships you were talking about, one of the things that I see pretty often is a dog that is either very obedient to dad, but not so much to mom, or not so much to the kids. Can you talk a little bit about your thoughts there?
Exactly. I see it every day. Every phone call I get mentions some aspect of that. Or maybe the dog listens to the majority of them, but there's one child. And that usually that one child or the spouse, the one that the dog isn't listening to, is usually the one that is softer energy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe doesn't necessarily want to be in a relationship with the dog in the first place. And the dog knows that. The dog can tell. The dog is not going to lie. Okay. Dogs don't lie. I can walk into a house and immediately pinpoint which child it is or which spouse it is, regardless of whether that family knows for themselves. Or maybe it's a family that has multiple dogs, or maybe they have multiple different species of animals living in their home, whether it's a dog, a cat, bird, rabbit, whatever. Maybe they have some property and they have a horse. Okay. Horses don't lie either. I grew up in the horse world to begin with. Dogs are secondary. Mm-hmm. Dogs are my miniature horses that I can take around with me. I started in the horse world. So anyway. The biggest thing that comes to that is how do we help those people? How do we help the spouse or help the children that are not, that don't have the good relationship with the dog? Well, first off, we need to communicate to that child or that spouse the importance of their role, even if they don't really want to be involved. Okay. That's the hardest part, is helping them understand that they need to be involved, even if it's just the tiniest thing. Usually with kids, what I do is encourage them to take on at least one chore related with the dog. Okay, whether that's feeding the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I generally don't agree with letting the children be responsible for walking the dog. In my opinion, that's just too much because there are so many variables related to it. Maybe if you have older teens, put them in charge of taking the dog for a walk. But I definitely would not allow any children under the age of maybe 12 taking the dog for a walk by themselves, for sure. Mm-hmm. If you're going for a family walk, absolutely. Everybody needs to take a turn walking the dog. But never by themselves. Never by themselves. There's too many variables. you're out in public, you've got other dogs, you've got other people, you've got motorists, you've got all sorts of craziness going on. You've got, you've got squirrels and cats and all that stuff. You can't put that responsibility on your 12-year-old or 6-year-old or 8-year-old child to walk the dog when all that's going on. So anyway, so mainly I would put the kids in charge of feeding the dog, cleaning up after it, playing with it in a structured way, playing fetch or whatever. Teaching it some silly pet tricks.
Sure.
YouTube is a great resource. Jump on YouTube, find silly pet tricks to teach your dog, follow the instructions in the videos, teach your dog silly pet tricks, and the dog will love you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, just do some silly things. So I usually put in task, I talk to the kid that's having the issue with the dog, and I say, hey, you like YouTube, right? Okay, I got some homework for you. Get a piece of paper. Teach
or
him what
TikTok
to do.
Now.
I TikTok. Have some, yeah, there you go. A TikTok challenge. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Love it. That's a great idea.
Laughing hysterically at TikTok. I haven't been brave enough to make one. I think I'm too old, but they're hysterically funny.
Exactly. So yeah, a TikTok challenge would be great. I tell the kids to hop on there and challenge their friends to teach their dogs silly pet tricks. And that gives them a great way to get involved in some aspect of a relationship with the dog, even if they're not going to be the one that's really doing the major lifting of the training.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So relationships are tricky. For sure.
Yes.
What about when the dog has a behavioral issue?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a resource guarder or
mm-hmm.
he, like you said, he's a door bolter or he's, you know, he's got something that's really sort of a big deal problem.
For sure.
And got kids involved in the dynamics of that. What are your thoughts?
I'll tell you a story. I love story time. You ready for story time? You got your popcorn
I'm
out?
I'm good.
Hey, story time. This is actually a story that's this client of mine wrote out a testimonial. It's on my website. I can send you the link if you want to provide it for your listeners or whatever. But
we'll add it at the end and be in the text of the notes too.
Perfect. So this testimonial is from Carly, and her dog's name is Willow. And Carly came to me, she's a young lady. She had adopted Willow from a previous family. She knew she had some issues. Willow is a border collie mix. And as with most border collies, any herding dog, she felt the need to control chaos. And that's their job, control chaos, right? And whenever she felt that anything was out of her control, she would bite and nip and do normal border collie things. Well, Carly, being the young and impressionable person that she was, she felt it was all her fault, and she became very depressed and anxious about it. And Willow had bitten quite a few people at this point, never severely, but enough that it was becoming a problem.
Sure.
And it could have been reported and all this stuff, and had a big major issue liability on her hands. So she reached out to me, and we started to, we did a consultation, and I evaluated Willow, and I did see some pushback. She didn't like to be told what to do because she was used to doing her own thing. And I told Carly, no amount of training that I could do for Willow is going to help until she, hi dude.
I saw that.
Get out of here.
Sarah's being attacked by insects.
I'm being attacked by an insect right now. Just kidding. Yeah, we've got some wasp problems around here. But it's not those killer wasps yet. Murder wasps. Is that what they are? What's going on in the news? Right?
Murder hornets.
Okay, so
they are.
Murder hornets, that's what they are. Okay, yeah, not one of those. So anyway, I told Carly, no amount of training on anything that I can do is going to help Willow until she, Carly, makes some changes on her own. And you know, I'm a dog trainer. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a marriage therapist. I'm not a family counselor or anything like that. All I can do is give my own, not even my own opinion, but my own experience, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And just say, look, Carly. And I told her this, and I said, look, Carly, I need you. While Willow's here for training, at the time she did 3 or 4 weeks board and train. And I told Carly, I said, while Willow's here, you need to go, whether it's kickboxing, whether it's, karate, I don't know those types of things, but, you know, I told her she needed to look into something that was going to help build her confidence because right. she was so shut down. And Willow knew that. And Willow's perception of Carly was that Carly was so weak and vulnerable that Willow had to step up and be the one that was taking control.
Either right? the protector or the leader yeah. or both in some way.
Or both. Yeah, exactly. And so with Willow, the first week that she was with me, we had quite a bit of pushback. She didn't want to give up that role of being the leader of who she had been trained to be since Carly had had her, or even before then. Who knows what type of family life she'd come from beforehand. But after that first week, I started to see a dog that was grateful that she didn't have to be the leader anymore. See, Willow was a natural follower. What she wanted was a shepherd to tell her how to go and gather the sheep and bring them in. That's what a border collie does. A right. good border collie listens. A good border collie understands that you need to default whatever desires you have to whatever the shepherd's desires are. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she had been programmed, though, from just having that relationship with Carly, that Carly was not the shepherd. Now the sheepdog had to be both sheepdog and shepherd. Can you imagine the stress on the dog?
Yeah.
Okay. So Carly's homework, I assigned her a very specific homework, and it was to go find something that will build her confidence. And you know what she got into? Leather work.
Oh.
She started her own business making, she does collars for dogs, and she does leashes. She does saddles. She makes Western saddles.
Wow.
From just scraps of leather. She taught her, she is a self-taught leather worker. She started her own business.
They say that our dogs are here to teach us something, right? That we just have to be open to receiving those lessons. And sometimes it takes an outside observer, or like mm-hmm. yourself, a trainer, who says there's something broken in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And this is what I observe. Let's take action on it. And she did. And so that's pretty awesome that the dog's behavior led her to something that major in her life. That's pretty awesome.
Yep. And you know, Willow is actually featured in quite a few of my YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. So she's a striking blue merle border collie, and she provided a lot of great content for my YouTube channel.
What was it like when the owner came to pick her up? And those first few weeks of going back.
Completely different person. When she came back, when she was at the drop-off, when she dropped Willow off, she was shut down. She was hunched over. Her shoulders were rounded. She would walk with a slouch and a kind of a scuffle. When she came and picked up Willow, and again, this was only 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
When she came to pick her up, she was standing up straight. still kind of a little shuffle in her step, but I think that's just because of how her body mechanics work. Mm-hmm. But she had a pride, a sense of confidence about herself. And when Willow was reunited with her, there was a little bit of confusion on Willow's part, because she's like, wait a minute.
Who are you?
Who are you? You used to be this person that I had to protect, right. And I had to, you know, I had to lead and guide, but now Carly was able to take that time and find herself.
Yeah.
Truly find herself.
That's awesome.
It's been, let's see, it was 2016, 2015. I think it was 2015. Summer of 2015, or fall. I took Willow with me to IACP conference in California, whatever summer that was. I think it was 2015, 2016, one of those. And I took Willow with me. That was right in the middle of her board and train. And that significantly helped, being around a bunch of other trainers who could understand dog body language.
Right.
And I would pass her around. I would just say, here, take Willow for the afternoon. And it would force Willow to come out on the other side, realizing that people are not bad. People are, the people that understand who she is and understand her needs are there to be her advocate.
Yeah.
Right. And so by the end, we were there for only 4 days for ICP conference. And at the end of those 4 days, she was going up to each of those people that had taken her, that I had passed off. And she went up to each of them and said goodbye.
Awesome.
She gave them kisses and said goodbye, and we brought her back home. And Willow was definitely a different dog, and Carly was definitely a different young woman.
I can imagine that greeting of the dog coming out and literally be like, "Who are you? And what have you?
Who are you? Yeah." And the funny thing was, is it kind of happened on Carly's end too, where she's like, "This isn't my dog."
Yeah.
What did you do with my dog? And I said, "You both went through a major life change. You came to a realization of who you were."
So let's dig into this a little bit more, maybe a different story or a different opinion. But, you know, I've seen this many times over the years where you have a dog come in for board and train, and they've been either really filled with anxiety and fear and insecurity, or truly aggressive. And, mm-hmm. you know, the people drop them off. Mm-hmm. And you get them in a really healthy place, right? Their mind, their body, their spirit is all better, you know, having been with the pack and with confident leadership and so on. And what I have found sometimes is that the family, when they take the leash back, all that fear is right back in their gut or right back in their mind. And the dog falls into the old behavior because the family didn't move forward or didn't change along the process. And so mm-hmm. how do you tackle that?
I try at this point in my career to make that a huge point at the very beginning, even before I take their money, right? I say, look, if you're expecting your dog to go through a transformation in the next few weeks, so do you.
You have to. Yes.
You have to. If you're not willing to make some changes, and I spell it out for them, I say, you need to change this. And it's specific to the actual family, right? It's never, I mean, there might be some things that you can cross over from family to family, but this is why I do an in-person consultation beforehand. Mm-hmm. Or a virtual with this current climate,
right.
You know, but I want to do a face-to-face type of an interaction with them just so that I can spell it out for them and say, look, this family in particular, with Carly, I said, you need to build your own confidence. So you need to go find something that is going to build that confidence. I don't know what it is. But I gave her a list of ideas and options, you know, the karate or kickboxing or something creative that she was good at. She needed to also understand that she's going to have a different lifestyle with Willow. And I gave her homework as we went through the board and train. See, I think sometimes as dog trainers, we dump all of the information on the client at the end when they come and pick up their dog. I think it's better if we change that up a little bit and instruct the owner a little bit at the drop-off, a little bit the first week, a little bit the second week, third week, and then at the end. Mm-hmm. I currently do not do board and trains, primarily because it's rough on the family life, my own family life. Our family life just isn't conducive to doing it. Some families, some dog trainers might find it beneficial to their program and their lifestyle. Great, do that. It's just not good for mine. So I currently help my clients week by week. We do private lessons. I give them one, maybe two things to work on.
Right.
Because if it's not easy to incorporate into their daily life, if it takes up too much of their time or it's too complicated, what are they going to do?
They're not going to do it.
They won't. Jack diddly squat, right? Yeah. They're not going to do anything. Right. And that's not why they hired me.
Yeah.
They didn't hire me and I'm not training their dog so that they can fail.
Right.
I want them to succeed. So I'm going to have the conversation at the very beginning during the consultation before we have any exchange of money or signing a contract of any kind. And I'm going to say, look, this is the expectation. This is how much it's going to cost you. This is your commitment. If you're not willing to sign this contract with this commitment on it, that you are going to make changes, I can't guarantee anything.
Right.
There's no guarantee at all with dog training.
Right.
Period. The only thing I can guarantee is that I will show up. I will be on time. And if I'm not on time, that's on me.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that I will be there every step of the way and I will give you everything that you need for your dog. But I can't guarantee that you'll show up. I can't guarantee that you'll do your homework. I can't guarantee that your dog is going to change its behavior.
Right.
That's on you.
Yeah. I am not doing board and train anymore either. In part, I moved, but even prior to moving down to the beach, I had stopped doing board and train because having staff was just way too complicated, you know, and I found myself still working 24 hours a day, even though I had staff. Right.
Exactly.
If I can't get you guys up to speed to not need me for the basics, then we've got a problem. But as I made that shift, especially when dealing with things like separation anxiety and even with aggression, even leash reactivity for that matter, what I've really started to focus on is the human, right? Are you tensing up on the leash when you see the little white fluffy coming charging at you, right, on its little retractable leash, which is sending shockwaves to your dog to say, okay, it's safe to explode now, right? And so
exactly
what I have found is that in the coaching, I'm telling the human, listen to me, take my actions, do these things. And because they focus their energy on hearing me and responding to me, their previous, that loop that's playing in their head of how a scene is going to go, doesn't go that way. Right. And suddenly they're like, oh my God, my dog did not explode. And I'm like, that's because you didn't trigger him to.
Exactly.
Teach that in a board and train. You have to see it either
yes.
aftercare program or some element of that where you're fixing the human. That's where the energy originates. Even if the dog was the reason it started, we have to be the reason that it shifts. And I call it relieving them of duty, just like the little dog you were talking about.
Yes.
He took control because nobody else did. And we got to stop that.
This is something I love telling my clients. When I don't know if how you do it, but when I am doing private lessons, mm-hmm. I very rarely touch the leash anymore.
Yeah.
Because if I do it for them, has the client learned anything? No. If I do it for them, yes, the dog's going to be perfect, right? I mean, I might have an explosion here or there, but I can cut it off in a quick second.
Yeah.
But if I have the client or the dog owner do it on their own, and I'm there to hold their hand the whole way, but if they do it, what happens to their confidence?
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's that mind shift, right?
Yeah. And I'll demo
it's
the
that
dog.
Mind shift.
I've done a million times. Dogs that pull on the leash, dogs that are explosive with reactivity, whatever. And I'll take the dog and the dog will behave perfectly. And they're like, seriously, how is that even happening? And I'm like, it's energy, it's confidence. So head up, shoulders back, and believe that this is possible. And when they do that, and like I said, they're hearing me instead of the loop in their head, they get it done.
Yes.
I can't believe it's just that simple.
A couple of points.
Bring them on.
Yeah, a couple of points I wanted to bring up. Let's see. One of the biggest things I like to bring up when I'm in a lesson is when the dog inevitably is going to act like it normally does. I tell the client, I said, yes! I am so glad that your dog just made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I want to see the dog make a mistake because what is a mistake?
An opportunity.
It is a step. Yes, it's a step towards progression of making a better choice. Okay? Mm-hmm. If I never see any mistakes, like when I was doing board and trains, if I had a client that said that their dog needed potty training, guess what? I guarantee that dog will never have an accident in my house. Why? Because it never had the opportunity to.
Right.
But in their house, their dog constantly has problems and constantly has accidents in the house. And I say, okay, why? All right. Let's set it up so that you don't have any more accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or if you do have an accident, awesome. You just had a learning experience. Now what are you going to do differently next time? Right. I love it when the dogs make a mistake, or I love it even better when the owner makes a mistake,
yes,
causing the dog to act differently, right? So one thing, and I love what you brought up earlier about how they start listening to you instead of the broken record in their head. Love him or hate him, Caesar Milan was a great teacher about this particular thing. When you watch any of the episodes of Dog Whisperer or anything like that, but pick up one of them. And when he's sitting down with the client or the owner and the dog is doing whatever it normally did, Caesar would stop the owner by just asking them, what do you do for a living? And the owner would forget the dog and the dog's actions. And inevitably, within a few seconds, the dog's behavior would stop because the dog didn't get the reaction it normally got.
Exactly. So can I tell you?
Because the owner was completely, yeah.
So I'll tell you a story. Make a note so you come back to what you wanted to talk about. But I had a client with an adorable little, I want to say it was a Yorkie, but that might not be right. Breed's not relevant. A little dog, a little fluff ball of a dog.
Toy breed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this dog was a nightmare on his leash. He lunged and barked and growled at everybody and everything that moved. So she was miserable. She couldn't walk him through the neighborhood. She couldn't take him to the park. They lived in a very active community, you know, with like music on Thursday nights and the whole bit. And he couldn't participate in any of those things. So I started working with her, and she made excuse after excuse after excuse of all the things. And I would take the leash and he would walk beautifully. So I took her to the park one day and I said, all right, the dog's name was Maestro. And I said, we're taking Maestro for a walk around this park. And she's like, it's going to be miserable. And I said, stop. Tell yourself a different story. And I got her walking and I said, I don't remember her name, but I had her make up a story. I said, tell me a story. Tell me a childhood story, a bedtime story, make one up. It does not matter to me, but tell me a story. And she started talking and just sort of literally making up things. And we were walking and I just didn't interrupt her. I let her tell her story and we made it all the way around the park. And I said, look where we are. And I said, how did that walk go? And she said, I can't believe, because we met dogs, we met people, we met squirrels, and Maestro didn't blow up a single time. And I said, what was different? And she's like, I guess it was me. I'm like, yeah, of course it was you. You weren't focused or worried about the fact that he was going to lose it. You just walked with your dog with confidence.
Yep.
So she hasn't had a problem since.
Isn't that funny? Yes, I wrote down my thing that I wanted to share. Continuing with this thing of letting the dogs make mistakes or letting the owners make mistakes. A few weeks ago, I had the very first lesson with a new client. They have a mini golden doodle named Daisy. And we did our very first lesson, and it was virtual, just like this. And they set up their phone in their living room so that I could watch the whole thing, and then they could watch me on my end, and that's kind of thing. And I demonstrated what I wanted them to do. And they were having the most frustrating time trying to get their dog to do what I was instructing on my end. And I was so frustrated for them too, because I could tell through the camera how frustrated they were. And I said, okay, let's change it up. Clearly something is not working. If you keep doing the same thing, expecting the same or a different result, what do you need to do? Change it up.
Do something different.
So I said, okay, yeah, change it up. So I said, okay, let's approach this from a different angle. And we changed it up. And I said, okay, it didn't work. And I said, okay, let's try it again. And eventually we got what we wanted, but from a different, totally different perspective of how we were supposed to get there, right? Follow the formula. Well, every family's different. Every dog is different. Every environment's different. Every day is different. Okay. And if it's getting too windy, I can go inside. Sorry. You getting any feedback?
Nope, you're fine.
So what changed, though, at the end of that lesson was I told them, I said, look, I'm glad that this happened. I'm glad that we had to go through this frustrating lesson, because if I had been there in person, that probably wouldn't have happened. But you wouldn't have learned this lesson that you needed to learn. Because eventually, I'm not going to be there for you.
Right.
I mean, as part of my program, I tell my clients, call me anytime. You have me for the life of your dog. Because, I mean, I love these guys, and I don't want them to feel like they can never contact me again. I want to get Christmas cards from them and see how their dogs are doing years later, you know? But at the same time, I say, look, I'm not going to be at your beck and call for every 5 minutes, right? So I'm glad that you were basically forced in this particular situation to learn how to learn and to learn how to be your dog's coach. Okay. Mm-hmm. They had to become me. They had to learn how to critically think and make changes on the fly.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, shoot, maybe I should keep doing training like this, because I feel like sometimes I'm their crutch.
Right.
Sometimes I'm their crutch and I'm there to hold their hand. And even though I don't hold the leash as much as I used to, I'm still there, and they act differently. Clients act differently when you're present as opposed to when you're not.
Sure they do. Mm-hmm.
And so if I can do it more like this and be more hands off and say, okay, what do you think you should do? I started asking clients more of this, and I said, well, I know what the answer is, but I think you know it too, and you need to figure it out. Voice it right now. You know, spout out some answers. There's no wrong answers. Spout it out. Come up with some solutions, and then let's try it. That's the biggest part. What are we as dog trainers supposed to be doing? Not making a dog do certain behaviors. That's the owner's job. Our job is to make sure that those owners know what to do in any given situation.
Mm-hmm.
To become those critical thinkers.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's a lot of different ways to get to the same end result. It doesn't yes. have to be exactly my style or my technique. Modify it
exactly.
if it's better to you.
Shoot. Yeah. Be yeah. open-minded. Don't be closed to one ideology or one philosophy. You got to be open to different techniques and different, again, every dog is different. Every yep. family is different.
So I want to bring this back, if we can, to the kids being involved in the training.
What, yes.
How do you do that? Tell me more about how you incorporate children into teaching the skills, right? And then,
yes.
then let's lead our way into how do we keep kids safe if we have a yes. dog that has some behavioral challenges?
Awesome. Good questions. So a couple of stories as well. I'm going to do this one and then Sadie. So how do I keep kids safe? Well, first off, if they are younger than 5, I don't allow them to have any physical interaction with the dog during like training zero? Lessons. Okay. Huh?
Do you mean like zero interaction? There's a baby gate put up or?
There are baby gates put up. There's a tie back on the dog. The dog is taught that it can go into its crate or onto its place bed and not be molested by the child and vice versa.
Yeah.
Right?
And is that true, Sarah?
I'm a huge.
Is that true for you even if the kid grew up with the dog, meaning?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I have been involved in too many interactions and too many cases where the dog was such a sweetheart for the first 10 years of its life or first 5 years of its life with coexisting with this child. And then one day, all of a sudden, out of the blue, the dog attacked the child. Well,
it's never out of the blue.
I hate to say it, guys, but it's never out of the blue.
Never.
Never out of the blue. Every time I see somebody post on social media of their sweet dog laying on the floor with the kid on top of it, what is that dog telling you in that picture? I guarantee you I can pick out 4 or 5 signals from that dog saying it is not happy with that situation.
Yeah.
So my first job is, if they have little kids in their house, is to sit down with them and say, stop it now. Because I have seen far too many cases where this has caused a disfigurement of your child's face. Because you were too nice and didn't tell your child to stop treating your dog, a sentient being with its own feelings, its own personal bubble, like a stuffed animal. If that's how your child treats your dog, teach your child to stop and get them a big fluffy stuffed animal instead.
But Sarah, he's 2. Okay? I mean, I hear this all the time, but he's 2. The kid's 2. And he's too young.
They know
to learn.
The difference between right and wrong.
I'm
a mother. I'm a mother. I have two kids.
I'm going to get my dog. He's crying. He needed some attention.
Oh, darn it.
Say hi.
Oh, little buddy. Oh, he looks so cute.
You get in.
He was crying. He was on the couch and he couldn't get down, so he was unhappy.
Mommy, mommy, save me. Well, he's adorable. I love that little face. So, my first job is to sit down with the parents and say, you need to stop the interaction between your young child who has, okay, this is a reason why, five years and younger. At 5 years old, how tall is that child?
Probably eyeball to eyeball with the dog, depending on the dog's size.
Ding, 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 ding. Exactly. Most dogs, most family dogs, the majority of families get a dog that's relatively about, you know, 40 pounds and under, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I see anyway. Maybe there's giants. I have my own physical limitations, but I actually have a broken spine.
Okay.
So I do not work with dogs over 65 pounds. I can't. And technically I shouldn't be even doing 25 and above. Mm-hmm. But don't tell my doctor that. technically I'm not supposed to. But again, I try not to hold the leash as much as possible. But you know, so I very rarely do I even work with dogs that big. If I get a call or somebody like that, I usually refer them out to somebody else just because.
Uh-oh, Sarah, I lost you.
I don't know what happened there.
Are you there? Oh, I see you.
Yep, I'm here. You see me? Oh, there we are.
You froze and then you disappeared and now you're back.
I don't know. Okay, I'm back. So, anyway, my biggest pet peeve is that with children under five, they need to make sure that the kid understands that the dog is no different than a younger sibling, right? Mm. So would they allow their five-year-old child to smother their 18-month-old?
I hope not.
Then why are they allowing them to do it to the dog?
Yeah.
Don't teach them boundaries.
Yeah, I agree.
Teach the child boundaries. And so I have a whole playlist on YouTube of videos with kids and dogs interacting, and I hammer it because I live in Mormon Central, okay? Big families, lots of kids. You know, the anomaly is, or the norm is to have at least 6 to 8 kids, okay? And they're all from 12 years and under, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I have a family that has a ton of kids and they're all between the ages of 6 months old all the way up to 16, I need everybody to understand that this dog is no different than their 18-month-old child.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them most dogs reach a maturity level of a 3 to 4-year-old child.
Right.
Okay. They're stuck in toddlerhood. A dog is a juvenile wolf for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want them to understand that this juvenile, this 3 to 4-year-old child in a fur coat with 4 legs and a tail.
And teeth.
isn't always going to make the best decisions. Does your 3-year-old child make the best decisions every day? Well, hell no. Okay. So don't expect your dog to sit down on the ground and take it every day, day after day, from your child who can't get past the fact that their dog is not a stuffed animal.
Right.
All right. So anyway, that was a big, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and on about that one. Let me share you two stories, one with Sadie and one with, I won't name names because it's one of those bad clients that you should never take on type of a situation. So I won't name names on that one. But
change Sadie, to protect Sarah.
Yes, names change to protect the
trainer.
Yeah. So, well, I'll tell the bad story first, and we'll end on a good one with Sadie. So the bad story is I went for a consultation with this family. Normally, I expect both spouses to be there. Okay, if it's a married couple, or even if they're not married, or if there's roommate situation, or if it's grandparents living with them, I want all decision-making adults who have an interaction with the dog to be present.
Right.
For the consultation at least, and then subsequent lessons afterwards. So anyway, the husband wasn't there. Red flag number one. The wife was there. She was really gung-ho about it. Her kids were ranging from 13 going down to, I think the youngest was like 5 or 6. And we had the consultation. Everything went well, other than the fact that the husband wasn't there. The wife said the husband was on board. He didn't really care how much it was going to cost, et cetera. So I said, okay, great. We'll sign you up. They signed a contract. Everything went well. We started lesson one. Within 10 minutes of me being there for lesson one, their 13-year-old daughter starts telling me how to train the dog.
She did what?
She starts telling me how to train the dog.
Oh.
That's not how you do it. And she was very rude about it. Like, that's not how you do it. Blah, blah, blah. This is how you do it. And she took the leash out of my hand. And I said, okay, this was not what I expected. She was there for the consultation. She didn't say a word. She sat like a pretty little princess during the consultation and wasn't involved during the first lesson. She was a we'll leave that out for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you understand, right? So answer that for you. So we after about 10 more minutes of me negotiating with this child, this 13-year-old, I stopped and I looked at the mother who was sitting there the whole time and I said, I cannot train your dog and teach you how to train your dog if she continues this. And I looked at the 13-year-old and I said, are you done?
Oh dear.
If you're not done, please leave the room and go tell yourself in the mirror all the stuff that you're telling me. Your mother has hired me, paid me over $1,000 to train this puppy. You gonna pay your mom back for the time you just wasted? Nobody had ever told her anything like that before.
Yeah.
So immediately I knew that the rest of this training program was not going to work.
Right.
Why? Because the mother had no control over her 13-year-old child.
Yeah.
How is she going to have control over a 6-month-old puppy? So I sent the mother a message afterwards. I left the lesson early. I said, I can't teach anymore. I can't teach you the rest of this lesson because there's not enough cohesion in the family. There's a bunch of discord. Can't teach you right now. It's going to be a disservice to the dog. It's going to be a disservice to you. It's going to be a waste of my time. I drove 45 minutes to that house.
Yeah.
And I said, nope, we're done. So I sent her a message afterward and I said, you have two choices. Choice number one, we can continue lessons, but you hire a babysitter and you send your kids away and I will teach you everything that you have already paid me for and review the stuff that we weren't able to go over the last lesson because your daughter interrupted me so rudely. You'll get the training for your dog, but you need to step it up as a parent and tell your child to stop being disrespectful. If that's going to work. Okay. Mm-hmm. Option number two, we terminate the contract. I'll prorate it. You send back a refund of what you haven't received yet. You get to keep the information we've already gone over. That's it. I'm done. I am not going to waste my time on a family that is not willing to work together. This is the issue, is the family that trains together is willing to keep their family together and they're staying together. They're not going to get rid of the dog. They're not going to, I mean, I can't imagine the problems they're going to have later on as this child gets older and she gets a license and everything and screws over her parents, right? Like, I just, yeah. And I don't want to judge her and do all this, but I can't work with a family that's not willing to be together and work together and to take direction.
It's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah.
When the dynamics of any of those relationships you talked about earlier are broken, right?
Exactly.
It's just hard because our job is to train the dog to enjoy, to be enjoyed and enjoy living in this family. And if the family dynamics are all monkeyed up, that gets really hard and really difficult to do. So I'm kind of like you. I have fired many a client. Some before,
yeah.
Because you can tell. You can tell at the consult.
Yes, for sure. And I should have, and to this day, I still never met the husband. I never knew what happened to them, but we ended up canceling. yeah, probably. We ended up terminating the contract, and I refunded them the prorated rate, and that was it. I never heard from them again.
Yeah.
You know, they very well could be passing on bad words about me, but you know what? I don't care. I'd much rather have a clear conscience knowing that I did what I had to do rather than deal with a negative or deal with, trying to appease them. All right. So what do you do if you're a client like that? If you're a client like that, you need to own your mistakes and own your own responsibilities, right? We're outsiders. I'm not a family coach. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a disciplinarian. I'm not your child's nanny. I'm not your child's mother. You need to step it up as a parent and tell them to stop, mm-hmm. to be respectful of somebody who has been hired as a professional to come in and teach you.
Right.
You know, so if you're a dog trainer like us, then be willing to say no. Stand up for yourself, stand up for your industry and say, look, I'm here to teach you this, this, and this. This is what you hired me for. I'm not here to tell your kids what to do. If your kids want to be involved, and yes, I am a family dog trainer. I include the children. I want to. That's how you stay together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
But if the child is going to be a detriment to the training, sorry.
Yeah.
You can either waste your money or you can tell your child to knock it off.
Yeah.
Right. Second story, Sadie, completely different family. Awesome. Great kids, great parents. They were totally on board with everything. They have a 2-year-old son who is terrified of their dog, and Sadie is a 85-pound yellow lab, just bonkers, wild, crazy, silly 18-month-old Labrador, right? Typical lab.
The kid was afraid of her?
The 2-year-old boy was afraid of her because she would jump up on him and she'd bulldoze him and stuff like that out. And it gotten to the point where they couldn't have her in the house. She was just so rambunctious, so she lived outside in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And that's not why they got a dog, right?
Yeah.
They didn't get a dog to kick her out to the backyard and only feed her and play with her once in a while, right? So they called me and they said, look, we've hired a couple of other trainers. Nobody else has been able to help us. We don't know what to do. We didn't get Sadie to throw her in the backyard, but that's what we've had to resort to because we don't know what else to do. And our two-year-old child is freaked out by her and he doesn't want anything to do with her. So we did the training. Every lesson I did with them, everyone was there. Both parents, all five kids, everybody on board. I had each of the kids get little handfuls of food. And we did training with the food. I'm an e-collar trainer. I taught the parents how to responsibly use the e-collar remote. Taught them also that they need to explain it to the children. They're not allowed to use the remote. If they find the remote, they're supposed to give it to the parents, never use it, never press the buttons. So they were both responsible. Parents were on board. Kids were on board. I received a testimonial 2 weeks after we finished training. And the mother said that the two-year-old asks to go out into the yard and play with Sadie now.
Nice. So what kind of things did you do with the two-year-old?
So with the two-year-old, we just played games. Yeah, okay. We just played games. So I make it a game for the kids, the little kids. Little kids love it when it's a game involved. So with him, all I wanted him to do was to teach Sadie to come, feed her when she came, when she sat, and then feed her. And then send her to her place. And it was just this game of going back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
Okay. That was the extent of it. The older kids, they got more involved in doing more extravagant things with her, playing soccer with her and that kind of stuff. We got to play and we started. One of the fun things that I like to do with a big family is each person gets a handful of food. They all go out into the yard. And one of the parents is in charge of the remote, the e-collar. One of the parents is in charge of the remote. Each of the kids has some food in their hand. And the parent who's in charge of the remote says a child's name. So say, hey, Jeff. Jeff then says, Sadie, come, as the parent is pressing the button on the remote.
Yeah.
As soon as Sadie comes, release the button off the remote. Sadie comes to Jeff. Jeff says, good girl, feeds her a treat, and then folds his arms and stands up straight and ignores her. And then Julie then says, Sadie, come, as mom or dad is pressing the button. Mm-hmm. And it just gets everybody involved.
Right.
And guess what? The dog is now learning that everyone in the house has clout.
Right.
She doesn't know that it's mom or dad that's only holding the remote, right?
Sure.
But she learns that everybody, all the way from the 16-year-old son all the way down to the 2-year-old little boy, has clout.
Mm-hmm.
And also that they want to be engaged with her, that they're playing a fun game where right. She gets to go back and forth and get food or frisbee or whatever it is that is engaging with her.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just a pet. She likes to get pets, you know, doesn't have to be food or a toy.
Exactly.
They loved playing hide and seek with her too. It was fun.
That's awesome.
Make it fun. Just create games, yeah. Do fun things.
And it's not, I mean, even though an 85-pound dog is rolling over a toddler, it's really not that hard to fix. It's just, it's really not.
It's not.
If, like you said, everybody's on board, everybody's consistent, and we show the dog how to live in our life, how to live our lifestyle.
Yes.
And behave himself.
How to survive domestication, right? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
How to live in suburbia.
Yeah.
Or worse, downtown.
So I know when we started, I asked you to maybe give some pointers on bringing a new dog into the house full of children.
Yeah.
So can you share a few?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. You know, let's just assume we've got a family that's never had a dog and they've gone out and not gotten a puppy, but maybe gotten a rescue dog that's already sort of a year old and perhaps didn't come with the best of manners. What are some of the rules?
So first off, if they've already gotten the dog and they've had it for a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, right, and they're already seeing some issues, what I would say is go back to square one, pretend that this is day one, and give the dog time to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's this meme going around. I'm sure we could find it, but basically it's three days, three weeks, 3 months, right? Give the dog at least a few days to decompress. Now, what does decompression mean? Well, that means don't do hardly anything with the dog. Let the dog get used to the environment, mm-hmm. the sounds, the smells, the sights, everything going on. That doesn't mean let the dog run amok, okay? Definitely utilize a crate or do some crate training to begin with. Mm-hmm. If the dog's not used to a crate and truly averse to a crate, get an X pin, get a 10x6 kennel, whatever it is that you need to do to confine the dog and let the dog have some quiet time away from the craziness, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Have the dog on a leash at all times.
Yep.
At all times. If the dog's a chewer and chews on the leash, get a chain leash. It's pretty simple.
Yep.
Okay. So shoot every excuse at me and I'll tell you that's just an excuse. Find a reason. Now go do it.
Yeah. And, you know, people balk at the chain leash all the time. And I'm like, look, if we do this right, it's temporary. If we do this right, it's just a couple days.
It's not for the rest of his life. For yeah. sure. It's not for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to draw a diagram. This is what I teach every single one of my clients, regardless of whether they get a new dog or they've had their dog for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. All right. So we have a staircase and I'm going to just draw this really quick for you. And it's probably going to be backwards, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is backwards.
I got you.
I'm on the selfie camera, but draw a staircase. Step number one down at the bottom is going to be your crate or some sort of confinement, okay? Step number two is going to be place or, you know, as dog trainers, we speak place, dog bed, okay? Teach your dog to go to the dog bed and stay there.
Go chill out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go chill out. Go to your Zen mat and just kind of hang out, right? Step number three is tied back, okay? So they don't have to be confined to a box, which is a crate. They don't have to be confined to their placemat. They can now have some room to roam, but they're always tied back somehow, either to you tethered or to a door or to a sturdy piece of furniture or whatever you want to use, okay? Then number four is you need to have some sort of an insurance policy, whether that's if you want to do e-collar, that's fine. If you want to do a long line, you need to have some sort of way, a way to get your dog out of the situation it's in safely without totally relying on the dog to make the best decision because it's not there yet. All right. So this is what it looks like. Step number one. Let me know if you can see that whole thing.
I can see it.
Okay.
Yep.
Step number one is crate confined, two is place or bed, three is tied back, and then four is the e-collar or long line, and then five is total freedom, all right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the stairway to freedom. Where's your dog in relation to that stairway of freedom?
Yeah.
Okay, on the first couple of days or weeks that you have your dog that you've just rescued or that you've brought home as a puppy, you're going to be in step number two or step number one for a while.
Exactly.
Okay. And anytime they're out of the crate, guess what? They're on a leash the whole time. Okay. Now, again, this isn't for the life of the dog.
No.
This is just for the first, at least the first 2 to 3 months, at the very least. All right.
Yeah.
Get the dog used to your environment, used to your situation, used to the rules and boundaries of your home.
Yeah. And people stress out about that a lot, especially when they've brought in a shelter dog or a dog that they feel has been abused in some way or whatever. You know, that emotional story is one that we wear probably more than the dog. Yes. So we try to give them all this freedom that they just may not be prepared for.
And they don't know how to use it. Okay.
Right.
Quoting Uncle Ben here from Spider-Man, with great freedom comes great responsibility. Yeah. If your dog doesn't know the concept of responsibility or has never had, if you're taking him from a shelter, he doesn't know what freedom is.
Yeah.
If you're taking him from a rescue that maybe he's been in a foster home for a while, okay, maybe he's used to a little bit of freedom or maybe too much freedom, depending on the foster, right? Depending on the rescue agency. So depending on what is the dog doing, is the dog destroying your personal property? Is the dog stealing food from the counter? Is the dog running amok? Is the dog bulldozing the children? Is the dog lunging at people on a leash? Great. What happens when your teenage son comes home with a traffic ticket? What are you going to do? Take the damn keys away. Right? Take away their freedom, strip them of their freedom, and say, you got to earn this back, buddy.
Yeah.
And when they've earned it, based on do they listen to you, then you can give them freedom back.
Yeah. I always tell people, go slower than you think is necessary, and then slow down again. Yes. Right?
Slow down. Yes. Very much so.
Because we can't
very much so
do those first bad experiences.
Can't. Yep.
Set him up.
Never. No amount of love and no amount of discipline even. No amount of discipline, no amount of love is ever going to change that dog's previous history.
Right.
But guess what? That dog doesn't live in that previous history. The dog lives now.
Right.
The dog lives in the here and the now. Yes, previous experiences are going to have a little bit of play in how the dog reacts to things,
mm-hmm.
but they're not sitting back there dwelling about how terrible their life was.
Yeah. If they are,
that's our, on them and, that's and our thing. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I way slower than most people think is reasonable, and I'm okay with that. Yeah. I would rather the dog learn little by little, incrementally build that staircase you're talking about. And I know that he's going to be set up for long-term success rather than set up for a setback.
Yes. We're going to have to wrap up here soon because I've got a dead battery, but okay. I wanted to share, I'm going to give a little dog trainer secret here.
Yes, ma'am.
My dogs aren't perfect.
Neither.
Okay. Don't judge the dog trainer based on their own dogs. Okay. It's like the shoemaker's children go barefoot, right? So based on this staircase here, I have two personal dogs. You can see their pictures on my website. One is an Australian Shepherd. He'll be 8 in August. And then the other one is a Chiweenie, and he'll be 7 in October. Bandit, the Australian Shepherd, he's all the way up here. Complete freedom. He doesn't need to wear any equipment, e-collar, nothing. The relationship I have with him and that he has with me, we completely trust and respect each other. I don't need any of that stuff. He has complete freedom and complete trust. You go do your own thing. I don't care. Okay? Chico, the other one, the Chiweenie, 7 years old, a year younger than Bandit. Where do you think he's at on this list?
Maybe 3 or 4.
Yeah, probably for the rest of his life, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Depending on the situation, you know, when I have at night, I have just now for the last few months allowed him to sleep in the living room with Bandit at night.
Yeah.
Just like literally, he's 7 years old. Just now I'm allowing him to do that.
No,
why?
And I'm with you. So Poppy's 5 years old. My pit's 5 years old. Mm-hmm. She has free reign. My senior citizen dachshunds, they're crated mm-hmm. in a little X-pen. Every time I leave the house, they are troublemakers.
Yes. 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 When I leave the house, if I leave, Chico will find something to get into.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not a behavioral issue. It's just, he can't help himself. He's part dachshund.
Yeah.
He can't help himself. Right. So I understand where my dog is coming from and what his needs are. He needs me to confine him when unsupervised.
That's right.
If he's not, then he will get into something.
Yeah.
And he loves to disembowel anything that has stuffing in it.
Yeah.
Including blankets, pillows, couch cushions, everything.
And even
so,
she was crated till she was 18 months old before I ever trusted leaving her alone. And
yeah.
So many people want their dog to be free at like 5 months old. I'm like, no, not on
my
watch.
They got to remember though, go back to what we were earlier talking about. Remember, your dog is only going to reach the maturity level of a 3 to 4 year old child.
Yeah.
You know, there are some exceptions to the rule, where they just have a maturity, or they have the responsible nature, or they just trust you and respect you enough that they don't dare get into trouble, right?
Yeah.
But Chico, he's a Chihuahua dachshund. He'll give him the middle finger all day long. That's just because he really is. I can't change that.
I know. Yes. All right, Sarah. So I know you said you have to run. We could talk for days, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And have story after story.
Yes. We got to do this again for sure.
And I do want you to come back and talk introducing dogs to babies and all of that fun stuff. And
for sure.
You know, dig a little more into the kids and dogs with behavior and things of that nature. But this has been great and I appreciate it. Tell us your website and contact information.
So you guys can reach me at Bakers, plural. Acres, plural, letter K, number 9, academy.com, BAKERSACRESK, 9, ACADEMY.com. That's my website. You can also send me an email, businessname@gmail.com. You can also reach out to me by phone. I'm pretty open. I don't care about, you can only contact me through this one avenue. Call me anytime, 435-503-0182 if you have any questions.
Awesome.
I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on YouTube. My YouTube channel is really geared towards families, especially with kids. I got a whole playlist, like I mentioned earlier, about kids and dogs and life with kids and dogs. Highly encourage you guys, if you're interested in learning more about how to incorporate dogs into your life, or introducing a new baby to the dog, like we were talking about, we need to do a podcast about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead and start there with my playlist on YouTube, Bakers Acres Canine Academy on YouTube.
Awesome.
But, yeah.
Any parting words, key points that you want people to take away?
Yes. Let's see. This is a good one. Stop talking to your dog and start listening.
Yes. Too many words.
Start listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Shut your mouth. Pay attention to what your dog is actually telling you. What do they need? Do they need, and Dan is the one to talk to, do they need a diet change? Do they need some emotional support? We talk about emotional support for animals. Guess what? Our animals need emotional support too.
Ooh.
We're throwing all that crap on them. They need some help understanding and processing all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk to Danny about those things. Feed them an appropriate diet. Stop talking. Let them sleep. This is the biggest thing that I talk to my clients about, and we can do a whole nother podcast about this one. Probably the number one reason why we have behavioral issues, this is my opinion, Sarah Doctrine here, is lack of sleep. That our dogs are sleep deprived. Okay.
Huh.
And people are so surprised when I say that, and they're like, oh, my dog sleeps all day long. And I said, what kind of sleep are they getting? They might be laying down in the corner over there, but they're right in the middle of everything. What kind of sleep are they getting? How well do you sleep?
I ask my client
on your couch versus how well do you sleep on your bed?
Yeah, especially those dogs with anxiety and aggression. I often say, is your dog the kind that sleeps with one eye open? He is alert and ready at all times. There is a huge difference.
Are his ears twitching? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're
absolutely
right.
Yeah, we could talk about sleep all day long. There's a ton of information that is missing in the pet dog world in relation to allowing your dog to get the necessary sleep that they need. People are flabbergasted when I say that their puppies need around 20 hours of sleep a day. Mm-hmm. And then they wonder why their dogs have issues. Yeah. Like, why does my puppy bark all the time? Why do they whine? Why do they jump on me? Why do they have potty training issues? Why do they bite and chew on my kids? They're sleep deprived.
Hmm.
I guarantee you, if you start setting a sleep schedule, that puppy's going to stop biting.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, okay, friend.
On that note, to be continued.
I'm going to put you on the schedule for a future date. So thanks for coming.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I will stop the recording.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. You're welcome anytime.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Dana Brigman of the Canine Coach and Well-Oiled Canine. I'd love to have you be part of the team. As you are learning more about wellness and natural solutions for your own pets, please visit my website, caninecoach.dog, for a lot more information about nutrition, wellness, and behavior for your dogs. If you're interested in learning more about essential oils specifically, please visit my page, welloiledcanine.com. And we'd love to see you in our group. It's a Facebook group called Dogs Well-Oiled and Well-Fed. You can find it by going to the group section of Facebook, and our name is Well-Oiled Canine. We look forward to seeing you there, and I would love to help you with a wellness review or any questions that you have about full hard dog nutrition or essential oils, homeopathy, or wellness for your dogs. Thank you, and have a great day.